We're going to read the Word of God this evening from John 18. John 18, verses 1 through 14. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You have to understand that that does not mean that they fell backward, but that they took a step back and then fell on their faces in front of Jesus. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And that's as far as we read the Word of God this evening. The text for tonight's sermon is verses 8 and 9. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. The Apostle John, you'll notice that I think, if you read his gospel account with that in mind, the Apostle John was a man who noticed details that others probably did not notice and who thought about the things, those details that he saw and heard and often found significance in them. You have an example of that back in chapter 13, the story of the last Passover and the First Lord's Supper. After Jesus had told his disciples that one of them would betray him, and they had questioned among themselves who it might be. Jesus told John, who asked him directly, that it was the one of the disciples to whom he would give the sop, a piece of bread dipped in a sauce of bitter herbs, after he had dipped it. And Jesus then gave the sop to Judas. And the Word of God tells us that at that point, Satan entered Judas, and he left the company of Jesus and his disciples and went to finish the betrayal of Jesus to the leaders of the Jews. In John 13, verse 30, John not only says, he then having received the sop, went immediately out, but he adds a detail there that most would have considered to be of no significance. John adds, and it was night. He does the same thing here as in John 18. As far as the gospel accounts are concerned, John was the only one who heard or paid attention to what Jesus said when he was captured in the garden. Not only, I am he, but let these go their way. And when John later on, under the inspiration of the Spirit, was writing his gospel account, then he remembered those words of Jesus and attached significance to them and adds, under the inspiration of the Spirit, that those words of Jesus, let these go their way, were the fulfillment of something that Jesus had said previously. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. John saw, in other words, in those words of Jesus, the gospel, saw that they were not just an insignificant detail belonging to the story of Jesus' capture in the garden, but part of the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, a part of the gospel that reflected some of the most important truths of Scripture concerning that death of Christ and his saving work on the cross. John saw in those words of Jesus, let these go their way, the doctrine of eternal election. As Jesus himself had said previously, when he said, those whom thou hast given me, of them I have lost none. He saw in those words something of Jesus' work as Savior in making atonement for our sins, and especially the great biblical truth that when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die merely to give everyone a chance to be saved, but died to be the Savior of those whom the Father had given him. Of those whom thou hast given me, have I lost none. So John saw, in other words, in what happened in the garden and in the words of Jesus, which were fulfilled there in the garden, saw the doctrines of eternal election and of unconditional, sovereign, limited atonement for sin. And so what he saw and heard in the garden is recorded also for us. John wanted us, under the inspiration of the Spirit, to know what Jesus said, even though none of the others heard it or recorded it. He wanted us to know that that was the fulfillment of what Jesus had said previously. Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So the theme for this evening's sermon is none lost. And we're going to look at the words of Jesus, which are quoted in verse 8, as a foretelling of these events. Then we're going to look at what happened in the garden as the fulfillment of that word of Jesus. You'll find it in the previous chapter in John 17. And finally, we're going to look at the fact that all of this was finished at the cross. And when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead and to take us to himself. So first of all, those words of Jesus, they're in John 17, verse 12. Jesus says there, part of his great high priestly prayer, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Even though Jesus had spoken those words just a few hours previously, John was the only one who remembered those words and saw what happened in the garden as the fulfillment of those words. Jesus and his disciples had just eaten the last Passover together. All this takes place on the night of the Passover, probably around midnight. And having finished the Passover, they had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus, in his agony, prayed that the cup of suffering which had been prepared for him might be taken away. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He prayed that three times, and the only answer was in the angels who came to visit him and comfort him there in the garden and to assure him that that cup of suffering was the cup that God had given him to drink. While Jesus was suffering and sweating blood and praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas, who had been sent away, was with the chief priests and leaders of the Jews and insisting to them that it was time to take Jesus, to arrest him and try him, and if possible, put him to death. And Judas was convinced of that because Jesus had showed him at the Last Supper that he knew all of Judas's efforts to betray him. "What thou doest," he had said to Judas, "do quickly." And so had forced the hand of Judas, and through Judas, the hands of those leaders of the Jews who hated Jesus. And even though they did not want to arrest Jesus during the feast, forced them to arrest him and try him. Not as they planned, but according to the will of God. And so it was that Jesus, having finished his prayers in the garden, having tried to keep his disciples with him for a few last hours, though they were too sleepy to be of help to him, went out to meet Judas and those who came with Judas to arrest him. When Jesus met them, then you'll remember from the gospel accounts that Judas showed the leaders of the Jews who they were after by kissing Jesus. But because it was night and because of the confusion, it's evident from John's account that not everyone knew who it was they were supposed to arrest. And so Jesus himself asked them, "Whom seek ye?" And when they said, "Jesus of Nazareth," he forced them to fall, as it were, on their faces before him in worship by making them go backward and fall to the ground. He did that to show that when he did go with them, it was willingly and in obedience to God, not because they were able themselves to take him or do anything else to him. Showed them his power as the Son of God in order to make it absolutely clear that the whole story of his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion was an act of obedience on his part and not something that they caused to happen. After they had struggled back to their feet again, then Jesus asked them a second time. And that's the verses, the first of the verses that we've chosen for tonight's text. He asked them again, "Whom seek ye?" And when they responded again, "Jesus of Nazareth," then he gave himself into their hand, surrendered to them as an act of perfect obedience to his Father's will. There was no longer any reason to demonstrate his power as the Son of God, and so he gave himself into their hands. But asked those who were capturing him to let the 11 disciples, Judas was with the mob, asked them to let his disciples go. "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." And John, he didn't remember that at the time or attach any significance to it, but when he wrote his gospel account, not only remembered those words of Jesus, but saw in them the fulfillment of what Jesus had said in his great high priestly prayer. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." I don't believe that any of us, except for what John records here, through the Spirit of God, that any one of us would have remembered those words of Jesus when the disciples forsook Jesus and fled in the garden, or would have seen in their flight, because that's what happened, would have seen in their flight anything that was a fulfillment of those words of Jesus in John 17. Would you? If the Word of God did not add in John 18, verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Would you have connected Jesus' plea for his disciples and their safety with those words that he spoke a few hours before in that prayer of John 17? I don't believe that any of us would have made that connection. And I'm not sure that John himself would have made that connection without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's through that inspiration of the Spirit that we see Jesus' plea for his disciples, not as an unimportant part of the story of his capture, but as the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that raises the question, how is Jesus' plea for his disciples in the garden when he was captured, how is that the fulfillment of those words, those of those whom thou hast given me, have I lost none? It's evident, of course, that those words of John 17, verse 12, refer to his work as Savior. Talk more about that as we go on, but refer to the fact that he, by his death on the cross, by all of his saving work, brought complete salvation to his people, not to all, but to those whom the Father had given him. But what does that have to do with what happened in the garden? When Jesus surrendered to his enemies and prayed for the safety of his disciples. Well, what happened in the garden, I think you probably have a sense of that. What happened in the garden was the fulfillment of John 17, verse 12. Only if you see what happened in the garden as a picture, a foreshadowing of Jesus' saving work on the cross. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all. Otherwise, Jesus' words, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, is just a request that those who came to capture him not mistreat his disciples. But if you see his words, both in John 17, verse 12, and his plea for his disciples as a kind of picture, then it all makes sense. Then you see that what happened in the garden, though a picture, is a fulfillment of those words of John 17, of those whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. What I mean to say is this, that when Jesus said, let these go their way, he had in mind not only the safety of his disciples in the face of that mob that came to capture him, but he was thinking ahead to what he would do for them by his death on the cross and their personal safety there in the garden. He made, and the Spirit made, inspiring the Apostle John, a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross when his disciples would not only go their way safely as far as these enemies of Christ and his disciples were concerned, but would go their way safely as far as the wrath and judgment of God against sin was concerned. That's what the Word of God is saying. Those words spoken in the garden, let these go their way, were looked ahead to what Jesus would accomplish on the cross for the eternal safety and well-being of his people. They would go their way, every one of them. In the judgment day and in the face of God's destroying anger against sin, and would do that, that's in those verses in John 18 as well, because Jesus, standing for them and in their place, gave himself up to his enemies. Maybe you could think of it this way, that when Jesus said, I am he, said that a second time, I'm the one you're looking for, the one you're seeking, then he really wasn't just talking to that mob that came to arrest him, but was acknowledging the fact that they were God's instrument, came in the will of God to arrest him in order that he might, through all of their wickedness, become a sacrifice for the sins of his people. It's not just saying, in other words, I'm the one you're looking for, but I'm the substitute. I'm the one who has taken their place and their place must suffer whatever is necessary for their salvation, that they may forever go their way. Again, I say, I don't think we would make that connection except the scriptures themselves make it for us. But Jesus, in all that happened to him, arrested, tried, beaten, crucified, saw in those who mistreated him and murdered him, saw always the hand of God, and so must we. You must, for example, when you read the story of Jesus' trial before Pilate and Pilate's attempt to make Barabbas a substitute for Jesus, when you read the cry of the people, "Not this man, but Barabbas," you have to hear in the cry of the people the word of God himself saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And so it is with the whole story of Jesus' crucifixion. And it's with that in mind that we have that word of God here in John 18, verses 8 and 9. "If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." And Jesus himself saying in that, "Those whom thou hast given me, have I lost none." Not only, in other words, thinking of what he would suffer for the salvation of his people, but thinking of that as a fulfillment of the will of God himself, who had given certain ones to Jesus. That, of course, as I suggested at the beginning, is a reference to election. When God gave some to Jesus, he gave them to him before the foundations of the world. That's what we mean when we talk about election in Christ. But it's a warm and personal way of describing election. It says to you and to me that election is not just the bare choice of some to be saved and to go to heaven, but that election is the gift of some to Jesus Christ himself, to be treasured by him and cared for by him and redeemed by him. And Jesus, when he says, "Let these go their way," is speaking of his disciples not only as those who had followed him for the 3 years of his earthly ministry, but as those who were among the elect, who belong to that number whom the Father had given him in eternity and for whom he would do whatever was necessary in order to save them. Let these go their way. Not everyone, but those whom thou hast given me. Among whom are these 11? Would make that connection, except for the word of God. And Jesus, looking forward to what he would suffer for them, speaks of the fact that by his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, his perfect obedience to the will of the Father, he would do everything that was needed for their salvation, would lose none of them. But if you read those words, both in John 18 and John 17, Jesus speaks as though it had all taken place already. Not those that kept and none of them will be lost, but none of them is lost. And in John 18, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. And that reflects on the fact that the work of Jesus is complete and perfect in bringing salvation to his people, because what he does is according to the will of God and done by the Son of God himself. The doctrines of eternal election and of limited atonement translate into a gospel message here for you and for me and for all who read and hear the Word of God in this passage. And that was finished at the cross. This looked ahead. This was a picture. What happened there in the garden. But it was finished at the cross. Think, for example, when you read in John 18, of those whom the Father had given him. Think of Jesus' words on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or think of the fact that there on the cross, Jesus hanging and crucified between two thieves, received one with that wonderful word of promise, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Of those whom thou hast given me, have I lost none. Or think of that centurion, probably in charge of the crucifixion, who, when Jesus died, confessed him to be the Son of God. Who would have thought that among those coarse and cruel, heartless Roman soldiers was one of those whom God had given to Jesus? But Christ, having made atonement for the sins of that Roman centurion, there on the cross, made sure by his Spirit that centurion confessed him to be Lord and Savior. Or when you read of what Jesus says, I have lost none. When you read that, think of those last words of Jesus. It is finished. All that was necessary to make atonement for all those whom the Father had given him was done. Nothing more needed. Nothing more ever again to be added to what he had done by his sacrifice and obedience. Finished forever. And think too, of course, of what that means for you and I. You're here. I'm here this evening, listening to a message from the Word of God. Listening to it, I trust, with thankfulness and joy but listening to it because already in the garden, Jesus said, I'm the one. Take me. Do to me whatever you will. And let these go their way. And of course, it will be that way in the judgment day too. In that great day when every action, every word, every thought is revealed. That word of Jesus will stand as the salvation of his people. Because he will be there as judge, as the one who sat in the garden and on the cross. I am he. Let these go their way. That's why I said at the beginning that though we probably would not see that apart from what the Word of God records for us here, John, under the inspiration of the Spirit, saw in those words of Jesus and in the events in the garden the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, saw it even before it was finished at the cross. And what a word that is. When I consider my sins, look at myself, and see what a miserable sinner I am. My only hope and peace is in the words of Jesus. I've told you that I am he. I'd let these go their way. When enemies come, as they did there in the garden, then I don't always expect that I'm going to escape them as the disciples did. But I know that as far as the wrath and judgment of Almighty God is concerned, I have escaped and am forever safe because my Savior said on my behalf, I am he. No one else but me. No one with me in this great work which God has given me to do. Take me. Do to me as you please. And they did. But do it, because in doing it to me, those whom God has given me in eternity and who belong to me by the grace of God will be forever free. So we can be thankful, can't we, that John was the kind of man who noticed things like this and remembered them and reflected on them and made them part of his gospel account. We'd be missing something if he had missed it. But through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he remembered and passed it on to us. Those wonderful words of our Savior. I have told you that I am He. He on behalf of all those whom the Father has given me. He who must pay for their sins and give them life everlasting and peace with God. John remembered it. Let us not forget it. Amen.